This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Chris.
And Angie.
And Angie. This is the first time we have done a show together.
Yep.
Am I correct? Yeah, I am correct. I think I'd remember this. Angie, I've known for years, but we've never been on the radio together.
Nope.
I don't think ever.
It's going to be exciting.
It must mean that Binance was hacked.
I think that's what happened.
Was there a major hack in the crypto world?
There was. About 7,000 bitcoins worth about $40 million got stolen.
Do you have it?
I do. Let's go to it.
Oh, you have the story. I was asking if you had the $40
million. No, the
$40 million,
I would share it.
You would?
I would, absolutely.
Nice. I'm not sure I would. I think I would. I mean, $40 million, you could do a lot of good with that.
Absolutely. We would all have money.
I meant like good in the world. I meant like I was trying to be like all, you know, world.
Yeah, I'm
PC.
Just going
to
be real.
You're going to be real?
Yep.
So it's the AMG S65 sedan 2019. V12.
I won't do that. I won't go all extravagant like that. But
you're not going to worry about bills anymore.
I'm not going to worry about bills.
The interesting thing is that a lot of people feel that maybe a little bit of Bitcoin could end up in that kind of situation anyway.
I think that it could. You hang on to it. Buy and hold. Don't sell. Don't use it for food.
HODL, as the young kids say.
Yep.
Well, so tell us about Binance. This is kind of interesting.
Let's take a look. Binance security breach results in a loss of almost 41 million or 7,000 Bitcoin.
Who has this story?
This is with theblockcrypto.com.
Gotcha.
Binance is one of the biggest crypto exchanges, reported a security breach on Tuesday that resulted in a theft of 40.6 million or 7,000 Bitcoin. According to the company's blog post, the hackers were able to obtain a large number of users' API keys. Can you tell me what that is?
Say that again.
API keys?
Oh, API keys. So a lot of times when if you're doing something that's automated with your crypto exchange, like I'm running a little program here that says, you know, if the price of Ethereum falls below X number of dollars, then buy. And I want my computer to do that. If I use API keys, which are a different way to access my account, then that computer program could automatically sort of connect. It would be automatically connecting me to them.
I understand.
Yeah.
And then 2FA codes, which is two-factor authentication.
That's correct.
All right. And potentially other information. With this information, the hackers withdrew 7,000 bitcoins in one transaction.
Wow. So that's a lot. And what's kind of interesting about this is everybody knows what Bitcoin were stolen because Bitcoin is a public ledger. It's not a private thing.
But now if someone, whoever has this, 40 million or 7,000 Bitcoin, when they go to trade it, they can't stop it, right? Like they can still trade it and do what they want with it, or how will that work?
It'll be interesting to see how they go about sort of laundering this because anybody in the crypto world, so say they, you know, go to deposit it in another exchange.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to take it over to Coinbase. Coinbase is probably going to see those things pop up and a big red flag goes off and say, hey, we found some of the Binance hacked Bitcoins. Now, that's a misnomer. So I just said something that was completely incorrect. I said Bitcoin hacked, hacked Bitcoins. There is no hack of Bitcoin. And I think that's important for people to remember that Bitcoin itself has never been hacked. It is solid. It's one of those things. It's safe. It's safe money. The problem is that people that hold Bitcoin or transact in Bitcoins can sometimes not have good security practices and they expose themselves to having their Bitcoin stolen. So this is not Bitcoin being hacked, folks. This is Binance being robbed because they had some practices that allowed hackers to take advantage of, and that's what it was.
That's a big mistake.
It is. It's a 7,000 Bitcoin, $40 million mistake.
Yep. The article continues. It says, Binance says that it will cover the incident in full, so no user funds will be affected. However, the company is currently suspending all deposits and withdrawals during its security review. The hackers had the patience to wait and execute well-orchestrated actions through multiple seemingly independent accounts at the most opportune time. Binance states in its blog post, "It was unfortunate that we were not able to block this withdrawal before it was executed."
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. And I listened to CZ, who is, I don't know his actual name. He's, I think, the CEO of Binance. He did a little Twitter post, Twitter video earlier. And that's what he was saying. He says this thing was, they executed this in such a way that they weren't too greedy. It's like they didn't immediately swoop in and suck everything out and possibly make mistakes. He said they were very methodical, you know, how they executed this attack, sort of like they were all following the same playbook, which they probably were. Say, we'll do this, we'll wait 10 minutes, then we'll do this, and then we'll go after all the high net worth individuals that we can find, and we'll go after them. And it was just, it's amazing. The guy said he had been, the CEO said he had been up 29 hours at that point, and I don't doubt it, and just started off by saying, hasn't been a great day around here.
Yeah.
I hear that.
I think it's good to mention that the CZ, the founder or CEO, he's a libertarian.
Yeah. Yeah. He's quite the character on Twitter. I mean, that's how I know him. I follow him on Twitter, and he's definitely got some strong opinions, and he's consistent in his beliefs, you know, and I appreciate that.
Now, am I correct that they left China because they wanted to come in and regulate the industry or their company with government regulations?
I haven't heard that put that directly, but I would imagine.
Okay.
He, I believe, is Chinese.
And did they leave China?
I don't know. Okay. We're going to dig into a little bit more Binance history so we can find out more about this company. 855 450 free. What do you think? Is Bitcoin hacked? Is this another example of just Bitcoin being a cesspool of criminals and thieves and unsafe money? Or is it something more? Is the fact that everyone knows which Bitcoins were stolen? It's like if you robbed a bank and every $100 bill, they had already written down every serial number off of every $100 bill.
And that's the way that the Bitcoin are? Like, they have all of the numbers for each thing.
Sure. Now, there are tricks to what they'll try to do. I imagine the hackers, the thieves, will try to obfuscate them, you know, try to make it appear that, you know, some of them went over here. And I've heard they're doing this already. They're trying to mix the Bitcoins to get rid of them. But, you know, there are also these, you know, a new business is the forensic scientists involved in cryptocurrencies who try to go back and recreate things and try to trace things. Unfortunately, part of that's the government. They're trying to do that too.
Right. But he will not comply with them. Like, he doesn't do the government regulations. He doesn't follow their rules.
I don't know. I don't know if when it's a case where he has a financial interest where you might say, okay, well, the government is actually being useful here.
Okay.
But not in the 99.9% else that the government does.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. I found it kind of interesting that this hack happened shortly after they went public.
Did they?
Yes. That it was the Binance made public within hours this hack occurred.
I did not know that. So that's interesting. I wonder if it was just, you know, timing or looking for an opportune time when they might be flush with cash.
Yep.
They just had a bunch of good press and things like that. Binance also has its own crypto token called the BNB, the Binance something coin. I don't know what it is, but it's done very well. I think it's a top 10 or close to a top 10 cryptocurrency. So that's kind of interesting, and they are kind of flush with cash right now. 855, 450 free. What do you think? Is this just adding fuel to the fire? Are you a Bitcoin hater? Do you think all crypto's a scam? Or do you think there might be something to this stuff? I'm of the opinion that there might be something to this stuff. 855, 450 free. This is Free Talk Live. The This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's our toll-free number. You can also hit us up on Discord. Discord with your high-speed internet connection, a little bit of software from the fine folks at Discord, and your quality microphone. You'll sound just like you are in the studio with us. Hit us up at discord.freetalklive.com. And in the studio, we have Chris.
Jay.
Angie.
And we've been talking Binance. Binance got hacked just a little bit. Just a little 7,000 bitcoins. So they lost about $40 million in cryptocurrency that belonged to other people.
Right.
That's how exchanges work. So if I own Bitcoin or I own some other cryptocurrency, then I have 100% responsibility over it. And cryptocurrencies use a system of private and public keys to make sure that you're the only one who has access to those. The problem when you trust a third party, even if that third party is your bank or another bank, when with your regular money, you're trusting that someone else is going to keep it secure. And in the crypto world, if we trust it to an exchange because we want to buy or sell some cryptocurrency, then somebody else has control over it, and that's a problem. So I guess it's considered best practice within the crypto world that if you're going to execute a trade on an exchange, that you're only going to put as much as you really need to do it, you know?
Right.
You don't let, you know, Jay, you've got $15, $20 million in cryptocurrency. You're not going to let that go sit on Binance.
How did you know?
It was just a guess.
Oh.
It was judging by the shape of that fine Carhartt t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is it's basically like your cryptocurrency on a exchange is essentially like your FRNs in a bank. When you deposit your money in a bank or it's in a bank, it technically, it was never your money to begin with, FRNs, because it's owned by the Federal Reserve.
It is a Federal Reserve note, for those of you who may not be familiar with that term.
The green coupons with the pictures of dead presidents that we all call money, or most people call money and use as money. When that's in a bank, if you read the fine print and all the stuff that you're agreeing to on a bank account, which nobody ever does,
right?
And I don't think anybody really ever could unless they, you know, had hours and hours to read all that crap. The bank is using that as an unsecured asset. It doesn't even belong to you. Well, essentially, if you don't hold the private keys to a wallet,
in the crypto world,
it's really not yours. You're trusting somebody else with it,
right?
And it's like putting your gold in Rothschild's bank and, you know, hoping that your gold certificate is, you know, going to be able to get the gold back someday.
Right. It'll be honored at some point. And that's the unique thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is for the first time in history, this allows you to do things that previously could have only been done by trusting a third party.
Yeah. For the first time in history, we can avoid the money changer, you know, without getting crucified, literally.
It's person to person. It's peer-to-peer money. And if I want to send money to Angie and Angie wants to send some over to Jay, then we can do those transactions without dealing with a bank, without dealing with any centralized power. And that is what's really powerful about this stuff. Decentralized. Unstoppable. And that also means that transactions can't be stopped. 855-450-FREE.
Another thing to add to that, I heard a great Bitcoin pitch from somebody the other day. It was, I don't know if it was a commercial or an interview, but basically he said money transactions should be as easy as sending your friend a selfie, as texting a pic, sending a picture from your phone. And that's basically how, once you get the wallet set up and familiar with, that's how easy cryptocurrency transactions are.
What a great analogy.
Yeah, I love that. I've been telling it to everybody because it is such a... I can't give credit to the guy I heard it from, but it is just a wonderful explanation.
Why can't you give credit?
Because I just don't know who said it. I just heard it in passing, but I didn't say... That's not my... You know, I didn't create that analogy. It's just something I heard.
But you've now popularized it.
I'm trying to.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And just this idea through decentralization, through encryption, And all these things existed before Bitcoin, but the alleged mastermind behind it, Satoshi Nakamoto, was able to take all these great ideas and combine them together in such a way that it allowed this thing to spring into existence. And this, you know, Bitcoin itself has been around for 10 years. That's 10 years live on the internet without being seriously hacked. Now, that doesn't mean that people like Binance or individuals haven't had their Bitcoin stolen from them.
I had some stolen from me.
Yeah.
I was foolish. And I got fished.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, what happened was Purse.io a couple of years ago, it was 1.57 Bitcoin.
And for those of you not familiar with Purse.io, here's the concept. You deposit some Bitcoin with Purse.io, or you can go to saveitpurse.com, and you can buy things on Amazon. I think you may have heard of this company, Amazon.com, for less than Amazon's normal low prices. Amazon is where I usually go because that is going to be the least expensive place, more than likely to find almost anything. So you go there, you spend Bitcoin. Other people that are interested in your Bitcoin will buy it from you and sell it to you, buy the thing that you are looking for less than retail. It is fascinating.
Yes.
So I didn't mean to dissuade, but a lot of people aren't familiar with what Purse.io does.
Right. And who turned me on to Purse.io was Free Talk Live.
Right. That was the first place I heard of it.
But this happened to me, I think, 4 years ago, right about 4 years ago. And what happened is I had, what was Bitcoin? It was like 285 or something. And so I had like, you know, $1,000 worth of Bitcoin in there, and I'm buying some stuff. And so I get a text message, a notification via Purse or through Purse, and it would send it to an email. And it was, oh, please confirm your address. Go log in here. So I just clicked the thing.
Right.
And now I'm at Purse's login. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Okay. Password, email. Just totally ignorant of what phishing was, basically.
Right.
And so I had taken a screenshot of the with my computer of the page because I wanted to make sure like things were working right, and I didn't really understand what was going on. And what I and logged into was purse.es.
Yeah.
Is that right? Or something like that. But anyways, and you gotta look at the fine print, right? You gotta pay attention. You know, it's just like your Bitcoin's like cash. So anyways, 1.5 Bitcoin, which today would be, you know, almost about $9,000, 1.57 whatever Bitcoin. I got lost. They wiped out my Bitcoin account. I never got, you know, my 128 gig SD card that I was trying to get from the guy.
Right.
So, but then and Purse was awesome. I have saved thousands of dollars with Purse because I bought so much stuff over the years. I loved it when it was 45% and 50% off. I used to get things for 45%, 50% off Bitcoin a lot. Now I think it's 33, right?
I think going rate. But it's just amazing that these are free market solutions that cryptocurrency has enabled. 855, 450 free. What do you think? What do you think about Bitcoin? Is it a deal of the century or a ripoff? 855, 450 free. This is Free Talk Live.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. In studio, we have Chris, Jay, and Angie. And we've been talking Bitcoin and crypto because Binance, which is one of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges, got robbed. They got jacked, and they got jacked for the sum of somewhere around 7,000, north of 7,000 Bitcoin, which has a U.S. dollar value of over $40 million. That was pretty significant. And this just goes to show that, you know, if it's not that Bitcoin is hackable, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what kind of security either your cryptocurrency exchange or your bank happens to implement. And if, you know, we're talking about the biggest hacks of all time, cryptocurrency hacks of this size don't even compare on the size of hacks that have occurred at FDIC insured banks.
And you know, that's another thing you talk about, FDI insurance. Well, there's an insurance thing that this is Binance is going to be covered by.
Interesting. Yes, they self-insured.
And I just heard a podcast today about it. I was very curious at how that worked. Do you guys have any idea?
Well, just, you know, Angie and I were talking about this a little bit before. They have a Seifu fund.
Right.
And Seifu is one of those Bitcoin or crypto terms, S-A-F-U, that is sort of an intentional misspelling of safe. Are my coins Seifu? That's sort of a running joke. And if the answer is yes, then your coins are safe. So shortly after Binance came into existence, they set up a Seifu fund where they took a percentage out of every exchange fee. So when you use an exchange,
10% was number I heard today.
Yeah, just like if you were to use, you know, Charles Schwab or something like that, there's a fee that you pay when you do a trade. They were taking a very small percentage of each crypto trade, and they were putting it aside in the Seifu fund so that if they ever got hacked and people's money ever got stolen, they could cover the loss.
So there's $40 million in that fund?
Evidently, according to CZ, the CEO of Binance, he says we'll be paying it back out of that fund, and that's it. You've also got Justin Sun, who is the leader of another cryptocurrency called Tron. He said he was just going to write a check and just cover it.
How is he with Binance? Like, what is he to Binance?
He's nothing to Binance.
Okay.
He's sort of a weird guy who throws out things like, oh, $40 million. Sure, no problem. I'll just cover that. So who knows what will happen there.
I was a little concerned when I was listening to a podcast and I heard about this Seifu fund, this insurance fund, because what they did is from what I understand, and you guys explained it in the first part I was listening on my way here, you know, they stole it from, you know, like it was a calculated attempt to basically hack wallets. So to hack, you know, accounts within the exchange, because technically it's not really a wallet.
Right.
So what if, you know, me and you and a handful of other people are, you know, a lot smarter than me, for example, about this stuff, decide that we're going to take advantage of this Seifu fund and we're going to, you know, maybe something's going to happen to where my account on Binance, for example, it gets hacked and your account gets hacked, but it's our friend hacking it. And since there's insurance,
right,
of some sort now, which I mean, I'm not really a fan of this. Okay, we can all kind of relax and be irresponsible now because we're going to be taken care of when we're not responsible. It basically sounds like it was the account holders, like the phishing, like what happened to me,
right,
a few years ago, or the fact that you're not using like a secure enough password, or, you know, there's certainly two-factor authentication that you shouldn't be using, like. As far as I'm concerned, like whatever device you're using your Bitcoin on, especially if you're going to hold a lot,
right,
should not have a phone number tagged to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there's SIM card swaps and there's so many variables out there. So it's really the ignorance of, sounds like this particular thing was the ignorance of the actual account holders, which they were able to, like, you know, I don't know, figure out how those guys are ignorant or whatever. I guess I don't know much about hacking, but that's just what it seemed like to me.
Well, as CZ explained, this is a very sophisticated attack. It appears that, and they did admit that there were some social hacking going on, you know, things where you're just, you know, that's a classic fish, you know, I'm from tech support, I need your password. Oh, my password's 1234. Thanks a lot. And they hang up and you've just given them access to whatever it is they want. So there was that aspect of it, but there were also some sophisticated attacks too. So that's the thing, and I can't stress this enough to anybody out there, especially people that are elderly, you know, people like myself. You really have to kind of stay up on this stuff, and you have to realize that you have to be suspicious of almost everything that happens online. everything. You know, everything from when you are asked to put in a username and password, as Jay found out, you know, if you're not looking at the actual address, suddenly you're logging into, you know, purse.es and not purse.io, and somebody else is snagging it. It's very hard to detect.
You shouldn't have to log into something again unless you've logged out. I would be very suspicious if you were like in anything that has to do, especially with crypto, and you're asked to do a second login. I would just stop right there.
Well, within certain periods of time, because that's a safety feature too. So
certain wallets do that. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't want to be logged in to something and leaving my account accessible for a long period of time. But I also don't want to make it so inconvenient that the user just has to keep logging in over and over and over. So that's the balance. It's convenience and usability versus security. And that's a battle that companies deal with all the time. You know, how do I maintain that balance? Or are there technical ways to do it? You know, is there some way of introducing some two-factor authentication that will allow you to stay logged in for a half hour or an hour as opposed to 10, 15 minutes? 855-450-FREE. What do you think? Is it tough to keep things secure? And why is Bitcoin picked on? Why is Bitcoin always the story? You know, this was a $40 million hack, and I'll have to do some Googling maybe tonight, and we'll look at some big traditional bank hacks that are in the billions of dollars, not millions of dollars.
The FDIC only insures for, what, $250,000 per account?
Sure.
So had this money been FRNs in a bank account, $40 million, they'd say, oh, here's your $250,000.
It didn't all come out of one account, though.
Oh, true.
It was several different... And it was all executed at one time.
I did read at one point they were going after high net worth wallets.
Okay.
So those could have been sizable, but it's a really good point, Angie, that, you know, the FDIC will insure up to a whopping $250,000 mm-hmm. per account holder. And that's assuming that one bank failed and a second one didn't, because I haven't looked at these statistics lately. But FDIC is not completely sound. There's only a certain level of economic disruption that they could possibly cover before they're out of money.
They just put a sign on the door.
Exactly.
And FDIC is also, another one of these, government subsidized, if need to be, fire up the printing press kind of situation, to where that's not going to happen with Bitcoin.
Right. Right. That's Bitcoin is designed to be sound money, not government money or fiat money. And that's a real distinct difference. 855-450-FREE. So do you have any more on this story, or?
No, I haven't really followed a lot of it. I just know that the headline caught my attention with 7,000 Bitcoin being hacked. I was like, wait a minute.
Because we all...
Michael mentioned it to me and said, hey, check this out.
Michael, that gentleman who works in Angie's research department for her show prep, which is a thankless job, but I'm sure he does his best.
I'm happy to have him.
And Michael's a good guy. We all know Michael. That's a good thing. 855-450-FREE. What do you think? Is it getting tougher and tougher to be online and not get hacked? Is Bitcoin a lightning rod for these sorts of things? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, your Wednesday night edition. I'm never here on Wednesday nights. I'm always here on Thursdays. But you guys are a fun crew. I kind of like this night.
We're the cool crew, I guess.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
And is that why Mark keeps you guys all to himself?
Of course. He handpicked us. He said, hey, I want them.
It's just not fair. But what is fair is Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. Bitcoin.com can help you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, and show you where you can spend your hard-earned Bitcoin Cash. You can also read the latest news or engage with the communities on the forums. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
I'd like to add that at Bitcoin, Bitcoin.com real quick ad.
Please.
So I went and quoted the job to do go paint a house, pressure wash the house and paint. I have a bucket truck and a man lift, so I can do those things pretty easy. Big house, Manchester.
I'll remember that.
Yep. And so anyways, I said to the lady, it is going to cost this much money. I don't remember the exact price. And I says, but if you pay me in cryptocurrency, it is going to be 20% less. And the first price was a cash price. The second price, I think I told her, it was like 3,000 cash, at 25 or 2,700 or 2,500 or something like that, the crypto.
Nice.
So on my business card, I got Bitcoin.com as one of them. I got all my favorite websites in the back of my business card.
Okay.
So I'm no longer writing them on a business card and handing them to people because I tell people about them all the time. So she actually just sent me a deposit the other day, and she was like, you know, it was pretty easy for her to buy Bitcoin Cash. I don't know if you guys have tried it. I haven't tried it yet. But she had no problems and was able to do it through a bank, whatever. And she sent it to me, and she was very intimidated by the whole Bitcoin process.
Right.
And she is a porcupine. You know, she moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. Mm-hmm. So she's not unfamiliar with it, but she just never set up a Bitcoin wallet until the other day. And she just sent me a text message. She's like, wow, she was so intimidated and worried, but she sat down and did it, and it wasn't a big deal.
And so, Jay, you discount if people offer to pay, if they will pay in cryptocurrency like Bitcoin Cash,
yep,
whatever, you'll give them a discount.
Absolutely.
And I do the same thing at my store because I value cryptocurrency over Federal Reserve notes, over this U.S. money, this money that constantly loses value. Right now, as we do this radio show, the Federal Reserve notes, the U.S. money in your pocket, is losing value. Conversely, cryptocurrencies over the last 10 years have traditionally gained in purchasing power, which makes it a more powerful money. It is a stronger money, and it is a safer money.
And you're exactly correct about that. And my pitch to people why I love Bitcoin or cryptocurrency so much. And, you know, I use Bitcoin kind of in a generic term. I'm just talking about all cryptos a lot when I use the term Bitcoin, because it's like Bitcoin is like the Q-tip of cryptocurrency.
It's the original.
So I say this is how we neuter the war machine. We stop using their money. And, you know, it goes back to Davy Barker's Bitcoin Not Bombs promotion that he's been doing for years. And that is what I like about it, because when we do fiat transactions, especially U.S. dollar-based fiat transactions, well, use that as an example, every time you swipe a card, deposit money in a bank, take money out of the bank, you know, apply for a loan, even if you don't get the loan, what essentially happens is money's created out of thin air, and the credit limit of the United States corporation increases. The credit line that the Federal Reserve gives to the United States corporation is based on the faith of the people's faith in that Federal Reserve note. And how that faith is calculated is how much it's being used.
No, Jay. The U.S. dollar, it must be backed by something, right? Do we still have some gold in Fort Knox, or is it silver? There has to be something that backs up the Federal Reserve note.
It's the barrel of a gun. It's the military.
So you're saying there is nothing at all behind, nothing backing people's money?
No, actually, there is a little bit of gold in Fort Knox, according to the government.
Right.
And Max Kaiser, I listen to him quite a bit, and he was the one reading this off about a few months ago, and he says, if you take the amount of debt that the federal government has, $22 trillion, and you divide it by how much gold is on deposit, they claim, allegedly is on deposit in Fort Knox, essentially, that number equals something like $72,000 per ounce of gold is the amount of debt that the gold is backing up.
Right.
So essentially, yes, there is nothing backing it up except for your nation is going to die or get bombed back to the Stone Age unless you accept dollars.
Well, and more to the point, there is no claim by the Federal Reserve or by anyone else that gold backs up the dollar.
That's true.
That's a non-issue. They just flat out say the dollar bill, the U.S. dollar, is backed by nothing. It is a fiat currency, and that is a fancy way of saying they've made it up out of thin air. And it's not that the U.S. is doing something insane and crazy and we're the only ones on the planet that do it. every country on the face of the planet does this. And they print it up, and that's what it is.
And this is not tinfoil hat conspiracy theory talk. Oh. Yes, it is a tremendous conspiracy because hundreds of thousands of people are involved in this, maybe millions.
Sure.
But if you look at a pre-1950 Federal Reserve note, it says on it, will pay to the bearer on demand. $5 or whatever, you know, the amount is. And it says
in
where it
silver
says,
or gold.
Well, earlier notes said silver or gold. Like the pre-1934s would say silver, but the pre-1950s, and where it says this note is legal, shall be used for legal tender shall be used to pay all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at United States Treasury,
right,
is what it said on the pre-1950 bills. In fact, I got some at home that I don't know, they're not really worth anything, but they're just kind of cool to show people when they're like, oh, yeah, you're tinfoil hat, you know.
Well,
they wouldn't do that to us. No, look, they admitted it years ago. You could trade these things for lawful money. So
let me give you another source. Without going and checking out Jay's paper currency collection, which I find that kind of thing kind of interesting. But let me direct you to another source. It's the Federal Reserve's website. You can go there and you can hear all this stuff. You can read it for yourself. There is nothing backing up your money. This was designed by intent, and there is no other way to really make banking insanely profitable other than doing it this way. I'm going to jump to the phones where we've got Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, did I tell you that? No, the
Sarah, you're really quiet. Can you try a little louder?
Oh, yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Okay. I was walking. The men are awful here in New Mexico.
The men?
The laws,
they're awful everywhere.
Yes, I concur.
Well, thanks.
Well, you know something? But, I mean, compare to, like, for example, New Hampshire and, like, Albuquerque. Like, you know, if I was to be at a bus stop at 9 o'clock at night, I could get raped here in Albuquerque.
But you have a gun, right? Because that's the anti-rape deterrent, is guns.
You do protect yourself, right?
But I do not carry a gun, you know? I do not bother with that. But so I don't come out after, like, 4 o'clock or 5 after dark here in Albuquerque. That's how I, you know, adapted to live here. But New Hampshire, probably a woman could take the bus at 9 o'clock at night.
I feel pretty safe here.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, if somebody could see you, you know, for me, if somebody does see me, like a police would come out like in an hour and a half. We have officer shortages, and they would have run off like in 10 minutes, and that's it. And also, we have like the highest number of untested rape kits per capita in the nation.
What do you think about that? That's just insane. Because what they're asking, again, is they're always asking for more money for law enforcement, yet somehow they can't process rape kits. Do you find that as atrocious as I do? I find it evil.
I mean, it's atrocious because, I mean, I live like I said, we're number one with a, like the, so then, you know what, for the women, like, for every one woman that did a rape kit, there's five women that were too embarrassed and too ashamed and just decided not to report it. So the actual rape is like five times what women reported. And these are the people that had kids. You know, they did the swab and the whole bit.
Right.
Because they were assaulted pretty bad.
There was an actual investigation, which a lot of times there isn't. That's good.
Well, I mean, women, they're going to say, what were you wearing? What were you doing in this house?
Yeah,
what were you
it's always the woman's fault.
Right, right. What were you wearing?
Yeah, what were you doing at the bus stop? What were you doing at the bus stop at 9 o'clock at night?
How come you didn't have your pistol in your purse? That's what I want to know.
Right, Sarah. Thank you for your call. 855-450-FREE. It is a shame, and I feel for her. She's scared. She's
but she can always move. I mean, she could come to the, you know, the free state.
She could come to New Hampshire. More when we return.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry, but I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. Hour number 2. The first hour was so much fun, we decided to do another one. In studio, it's Chris,
Jay,
and Angie.
And we are here to talk about what you want to talk about. That's what's, to me, the beauty of this show. It's a real call-in show. It is a real open phone show. You come up with a topic, and more than likely, we're going to discuss it. Keep in mind that we are on close to 200 AM/FM stations across the country, so you can't use any of those words you can't say on TV. But we would love to talk to you regardless of the topic. And we've been all over the board, which is kind of an ongoing mantra we have here. We talked about the Federal Reserve. We talked about a big Bitcoin hack, a big cryptocurrency hack that happened to a company called Binance. And we had a caller who wanted to talk a little bit about rape kits and staying safe after dark in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And this is typically how our evenings go. We're kind of bouncing all over the place. But one other place we did want to go was to the dark web. You guys have heard of this thing, right? This is not the internet that you see. It's the 99% of the internet that you do not see.
Okay.
And the
is this the internet that existed that we didn't know about before the internet existed?
You'd have to ask Al Gore because he invented the whole thing. The dark web is literally where a lot of hidden services occur, and some of those services have kind of dodged the light of law enforcement over the years because they are doing either things that the government says that are illegal, or they are basically doing things that they feel that they should be able to do. And without getting too specific on any one case, I mean, I'm a big fan of that. I think that people should have the right to a free press and free speech, regardless of what rules a particular government seems to come up with. In this case, the police bust a deep dot web. It's actually a site called deep.web by saying it made millions off referral links to dark web markets. This story comes to us from Gizmodo. The FBI, working in conjunction with authorities in multiple nations, has arrested several individuals in connection with their involvement in deep.web, a website that allegedly profiteered by taking commissions on referral links to dark web markets, TechCrunch reported on Tuesday. It has also seized domains affiliated with the site and replaced them with takedown notices. A typical takedown notice will have the FBI logo, the Department of Justice logo, and it will say something to the effect of, "This site has been seized by the FBI pursuant to seizure warrant obtained by blah, 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 blah." And this is a fairly common thing. And then you'll have all the logos of Europol and all the different police forces that were involved.
I got a question.
Shoot.
Are you aware of any, like, decentralized like website stuff. Like, so we know how Bitcoin is decentralized.
They
take a couple nodes down and a couple miners out, and nothing happens to the network essentially. But it seems like all these websites, there's a central server somewhere. And, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't know. Are you aware of anything decentralized? Like, could this deep dot web be decentralized? Is that possible?
Well, in this case, no, because deep dot web is simply a website. And all they did was provide links to go to other websites. In other words, do you remember what Yahoo was?
Yeah.
Yahoo used to be just a menu of different links you could go to, you know, you look under news and then you see abc.com or something like that. That's all this company was. This is all this website did.
And that's not illegal.
Apparently it now is, Jackie. Angie. Apparently it is.
Because we look so much alike.
Not at all. I was thinking of a different Jackie. But just this idea that you publish, these guys are publishing web addresses to places that may be doing illegal things. What the heck? How is that possible that that is breaking the law? You've got a half dozen law enforcement agencies from around the world attacking a website because they published links and they profited by them.
So when someone would click on the link to, let's say, the website that's no longer there, Silk Road, they would click on it and Silk Road would send them like a kickback? Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Okay. They would get a referral fee, just like, you know, on websites that I do, if I put in a couple
like
of referral
every
links. Every website.
That has you can, all these ads on the side, and if I click on an ad to go to, you know, Roberts and Roberts Brokerage, if I'm on freedomsphoenix.com, for example.
Or freetalklive.com.
Or whatever. That's on there too, right? And, it throws Free Talk Live a penny or half a penny or whatever per click or whatever the deal is.
Something. But the idea that this website gets taken down because they provided a link to something that already exists.
All right. We need to plug the website to replace this website so people can surf the deep, dark web or easier.
Right.
If anyone knows. Maybe a caller could call in and suggest a website that's like this.
Exactly. The dark web consists of networks that are not accessible without using special software configurations or other tools, such as the Tor project. Tor stands for the Onion Router. It is a method of securely communicating and visiting places on the internet. Most of it is abandoned or garbage, unless you know what you're looking for, at least. But it's also playing host to sprawling black markets, which have allegedly rolled in hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. This is sort of referring to things like the Silk Road. Authorities, however, have greatly thinned the ranks of such web destinations, taking down marketplaces like Alphabay and Silk Road over the course of the past decade. This case, however, seems to go one step further, as Deep Dot Web did not directly provide black market auctions, but instead acts as sort of a dark web index and news site. According to the Times of Israel, arrest of suspects went down in, quote, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Brazil, and Israel, unquote, as the suspects in Israel reported, quote, a 35-year-old resident of Tel Aviv and a 34-year-old resident of Ashdod, unquote. While merely publishing links to black market sites is not in and of itself illegal, something that seems like it will be very likely to play a role in the suspect's criminal defense. The takedown notice currently on the website cites U.S. federal statutes on money laundering as well as criminal and civil forfeiture. The Times of Israel reports that the authorities accuse Deep Dot Web administrators of making, quote, millions of dollars in commission through their referrals, unquote, which Israeli police tweeted was sort of a Bitcoin-based kickback scheme. This is insanity. This is literally, this is Yahoo Web.1 from 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
It's just as insane as them taking down a Silk Road. And, you know, Silk Road did nothing but just make the marketplace safe.
Absolutely. You know? And I can't, you know, and I don't think any of us would disagree with that providing a marketplace where things could actually be rated by real users got a lot of people safe drugs. Hate to break it to you folks, but people are going to take drugs. 855, 450 free. But this idea that you can just publish a link and you are going to suffer all the weight of the federal government and governments around the world just based on that. I don't know. This drives me nuts. What
did it give an
think?
Idea on how much the website may have made?
They said millions of dollars in commissions.
Millions of dollars. Okay.
And again, that's just, you know, by so people the clicking on links.
The government was probably upset they weren't getting their cut.
Oh, there you go.
And that's why they went after him?
That could be part of it.
They wanted to target a big fish and make an example like they did with Silk Road.
Exactly.
I think you're on to something. 855, 450 free. What do you think? Should people go to jail because they publish a link to another website, something they had no ownership in? This is insanity. I want to hear from you when we return. 855, 450 free. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, and I want you to give it a call because we want to talk to you. That's 855-450-3733. And I also want to tell you about AnyPay. Do you operate a retail business and you're looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at anypay.global, drop your personal crypto wallet address in their setup page, and load the app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Dash at your store right now. Get started now at anypay.global. That's anypay.global. You can also check out map.anypay.global, which is very cool. They also have an iOS app, so for those of you with iPhones, you're in luck, and they've got a new program called egifter.com. Check that out at egifter.com.
What is the map.anypay.global?
So map.anypay.global shows you all the different AnyPay accepting businesses around you. So you can pull it up and you can find my business, Route 101 Local Goods. You can find, Jay, are you using AnyPay right now?
I actually
now?
Don't use AnyPay.
Gotcha.
I'm Steven put me on CoinMap, which I don't know if that's his project or not.
That's a different one. But
so he came up with his own.
Yeah.
These guys did. Great. I wasn't sure aware of that.
Definitely worth checking out. And, you know, that's one of those things people like myself who are big believers, and Jay, I know you are, Angie, I know you are, believe that we shouldn't be using the government's money because it does fuel wars. Is there an alternative? Yes, there is, and that's cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and other alternatives that are outside of their control and their power. But you can find out more at freetalklive.com. We've got tons of links on there to different cryptocurrency wallets and things like that, and you can also go to bitcoin.com where you can find out a lot about cryptocurrency in general. We've been talking about, it's like old news, you know, that the federal government basically violates the Constitution by taking down some business that should have been protected by the First Amendment. And everybody's kind of like, yeah, okay, well, they were dealing with dark web stuff. Dun, dun, dun. Why is that? Why does the government feel it has impunity to take away some of our most, or I shouldn't say take away, they took those away years ago. They tell us that we still have them. They still teach kids in school that we still have these things called rights, but the government doesn't respect them. Angie, what do you think?
They teach kids in schools to follow rules, to live in their box. They don't teach them that they have rights.
Stay in your lane.
Yes. If you say anything they don't like, then you're doing wrong. They take recess away or your free time or anything like that.
It's a good point. Jay, what do you think?
Well, I got a lot of things I think. but I believe that, yes, that we do still have rights. But what I also do believe is that when we're interacting with government, the way we interact with government is we're using what they call is protected, basically an intellectual property. And what that is the name and date of birth on your on a certificate of live birth that your mother is an informant of. That's all she did was inform the hospital. The lady at the hospital who represents the Bureau of Vital Statistics, I forget what her deal is, you know, the one that has you sign all the papers.
Okay.
And, you know, and mom's an informant. If you look at any birth document, and mom's signature says informant. And what the state does is they create, like, a trust. And this trust is your name and date of birth. Well, it's not really yours because the state registered it in their thing. And these documents the state created, I mean, I wasn't aware of what was going on that day or that week or that year.
You were barely an hour old.
But what happens is you're given an offer you can't refuse. So you're offered to use this, I'm going to call it intellectual property for lack of a better description, this name and date of birth, which is required for any government interaction, whether you get a library card, a bank account, a driver's license, a permit to put a deck on your house.
So only anything. Only those things that are regulated.
Right. So I don't.
That's
like,
pretty much everything we do.
So what I did is I took myself out of that system by saying I waive the benefits that come from the state. I don't want them. I filed this stuff in the Massachusetts Secretary of State's office in 2012. And I've pretty much literally been left alone. I had one interaction after. Actually, I had two. The second interaction, the cop drove away. But in the first interaction after that, I got arrested, but was released shortly after. And, you know, because I don't have a driver's license. And, you know, and
You just opted out.
I just opted out.
I don't want to play your games anymore. Yeah. I'm opt. I'm done.
But
I don't want any. You don't want any benefits later on, right?
No, I don't want them. And it's an offer. I call it an offer you can't refuse because nobody has said, "Well, here's this offer, and this is the benefits of it, and this is the cost of it, and this is nobody explains that." In fact, do you know if you bring your son or daughter to the DMV in Massachusetts and they're 16 years old? Or 17 years old, or whatever, 15 and a half, and you get them a permit. In Massachusetts, a permit. And then when they're 16, after they have had the permit and driver's ed and all that stuff, they can get a driver's license. Well, as part of that contract that you sign as a parent bringing your son or daughter, your teenage son or daughter, to the DMV to get their driving privileges, you agree to bring them to basically, I don't know the exact wording, but you basically agree to sign your kids up for selective service or to convince your children to sign up for selective service is because when I was 18 years old, they sent these selective service things to Colorado where I had a driver's license.
What is selective service?
Oh, selective service.
The draft.
Yeah, okay. The draft. For boys.
Only boys because girls.
As of now, anyways.
Yeah. There are a lot of feminists out there that believe that women should have every right that men have. Accept the right to randomly be selected to go to war.
I don't want to be randomly selected.
Nor do I.
Right. Well, yeah. I never signed up for selective service.
I did.
I just threw those things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's no obligation for anyone to put their signature, which is your property, on anything.
So I'd have to say, if I took Mikey down there to get his license in Massachusetts, I would have to sign him up. I would have to agree to that.
I'm sure it's the same thing right here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Most states have some form of auto registration for selective service that are tied to state driver's licenses, but forget all that. It is federal law that he has to register for the draft when he comes of age, and if he doesn't, then that is a violation of the law.
Oh,
it's not a law. It's just a code.
He was born with a club foot, so doesn't he like opt out of that? Doesn't he get out of that?
No.
Oh,
no.
I thought
he
like
is still required to do all this stuff. Now,
I say they're not required. It is a request, actually.
I am playing the role of federal government here,
okay.
Jay.
I'm a
Jay
here.
So you just be quiet for a moment. I don't have to listen to you.
You're futting is what you're doing.
Now, the honest to God truth is the government does come up with all these laws that may be immoral. You know, they've only granted themselves these rights, these powers. I shouldn't say rights because they're not rights, they're powers. They are saying that we are the government, therefore we can do this. And we're going to do this. And if you don't like it, we're going to throw you in a cage. And that's what happens. 855-450-FREE. What do you think? Are you still free? I don't think Jay thinks he's still free. Or maybe Jay does.
I do think I'm free.
Because you have taken steps to protect your freedom. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Chris,
Jay,
and Angie.
And we are here to hear from you. This is an open phones show, which means you can call in on any topic you like. A couple other ways you can contact us. You can use Discord at discord.freetalklive.com. That will give you a link where you can connect. Make sure you load the Discord app or software. Use your high-speed internet connection and your high-quality microphone, or at least a decent microphone, and connect with the show that way. You'll sound like you are here in studio with us. A couple other things you can do. You can check us out on Twitch. Twitch.lrn.fm is one of the places that we broadcast our video feeds. I know that many of our fans just, they hear my voice and they just want to put a face to it, right?
That's exactly right.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
See, actually, Twitch viewership goes way, way up when Angie's on the show. That's my personal theory.
I thought you looked a little like Jackie.
Oh, jeez. Will I ever live this down? Likely never. Never. And what else was I going to talk about? DLive. DLive is a new addition to the Free Talk Live show. And DLive is a new sort of, it's a different platform. And they made a lot of news a couple weeks ago because the top YouTube content producer, PewDiePie, actually jumped ship. Do you watch him?
I have watched him, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so PewDiePie signed up on DLive and is kind of not really doing that whole YouTube thing with his 94 million subscribers, dragging him over to DLive. So you can find Free Talk Live. I think it's under lrn.fm at DLive, too. But I would definitely check those out. It's kind of fun to watch the show. Of course, I know most of the hosts, and that's always fun. But It does sort of give you an added dimension to what we're talking about. And as we talk to callers and as we talk to listeners, one person that I really wish I were talking to in studio right now is his great-grandmother who wanted to go to Disney World. I wager she did not go to Disney World by herself.
Probably
took
not.
The grandkids. Probably.
I would think so.
I would guess a family outing. We'll find out more, but you know, if you know, the Department of Homeland Security probably has stuff at Disney World, I'm sure they felt it was really important to bust a 69-year-old grandmother for CBD oil at Disney World.
Really? I mean, CBD is like commonly, it's like, I was at a gas station 2 hours ago. You could buy it right there.
Yep.
Right. And this happened in Florida, where you can also go to gas stations and buy CBD oil. So what is CBD? Let's talk about that first. Cannabidiol is one of the compounds that can be found in hemp or in marijuana. It is one of all sorts of different compounds
and
that are found in there.
The difference between hemp and marijuana is?
They're different plants within the same family, but hemp doesn't have tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC. THC is the ingredient that causes people to feel euphoric when they smoke marijuana. And that is the part, to dumb that down, is the part that gets you high is THC. CBD has no effect like that. What it does do is it helps a lot of people with anxiety. It helps a lot of people with low-level pain. And a lot of people swear by this as a medical treatment. So even more interestingly, the federal government actually dropped their prohibition on hemp as part of the agricultural bill last year. And they said, you know what? Go ahead and grow hemp. And we were like, okay, that's cool. Well, CBD can come from hemp. Yet, we've got these police in Disney World who feel they need to bust this grandmother. This comes to us from Fox News. A 69-year-old woman was arrested at a Disney World checkpoint when an Orange County deputy found CBD oil in her purse. She then spent 12 hours behind bars before being released on a $2,000 bond. Just keeping us safe.
Now, you said it was legal to buy it in Florida.
No, I'm saying that you can go to most places and buy it anywhere you want. Hester Jordan Burkhalter, a great-grandmother from North Carolina, began using CBD oil for her arthritis after her doctor recommended it, Fox 35 in Orlando reported. She even had a note from the medical professional in her purse at the time of her arrest, but it didn't matter. Burkhalter told Fox 35 that she had been planning on the trip for 2 years. Quote, "I have really bad arthritis in my legs, in my arms, and in my shoulder," unquote. She said, "I use CBD oil for the pain because it helps." When she was stopped by security outside of the Magic Kingdom, however, she was arrested. Quote, "I've never had one speeding ticket in my life," unquote. Despite the fact that it's sold in store shelves across the state, CBD oil is still technically illegal in the state of Florida unless the user has a prescription. This has created a confusing situation in the Sunshine State. So, Angie, to your point, there are a whole lot of states that may not have a legal marijuana or a legal hemp law, but pretty much CBD, it's sort of the cat's out of the bag. People are selling it coast to coast.
And the thing with CBD is, I was in Colorado for a couple of years, so I got to, I actually helped a few guys grow hemp, and specifically for CBD extraction, whole plant CBD extraction. They would press it, they would grind it up, extract it with solvents. But one of the guys would talk about, he did his whole speech and PowerPoint presentation on the health in America, and basically right at about marijuana prohibition. Up until then, I mean, hemp was used in pretty much every textile.
Right.
Hemp oil was, like, commonly in every house. It was more common than literally having table sugar in the house and hemp-type foods, because when you make hemp textiles, you have all this leftover stuff, hemp protein, hemp oil. You can make all these great things.
Okay.
And our body has these CBD receptors, tremendous amount.
Well, to the point, we have... And this is one of those things that a lot of people don't realize, but there is a whole receptor system in our brains that receives, like if it's one half of the socket that clicks into it are things from marijuana and from hemp.
And
we are engineered to ingest this stuff.
And mankind has grown up with CBD, essentially. This is why we have CBD receptors. For thousands and thousands of years going back. And he was saying that if you start looking at the health of America, the health just starts going downhill. Like, as shortly after marijuana prohibition and all hemp is wiped out. And this was big oil, big textile, Dow, DuPont, U.S. Standard Oil, Henry David Rockefeller.
But they were able to pinpoint a point where health started to suffer.
Yeah, and if you like look at these charts, and I don't have them in front of me, but basically people's health started going down, all these diseases started popping up, and as generations go on and on, there is less of this CBD, up until recently, less of this CBD exposure to people.
Right.
Now, there are people who were around previous marijuana prohibition that did have, CBD exposure. And what CBD use on a massive scale is going to do in this country is it is going to destroy the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
I don't know if it's going to destroy all of it.
It's going to destroy a lot of it.
I think I can look at hemp and I can look at marijuana and I can see, at least secondhand, I read a lot of studies about how this helps this and this helps seizures and all these different things. the idea that the government could come along, unconstitutionally, mind you, and declare this a prohibited product is insane. I think it's insane. Do you think it's insane? 855-450-FREE. I want to hear from you. This is Free Talk Live. Is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's our toll-free number. And we are anxious to hear from you. You doesn't matter what the topic is. You've got something that you want to get off your chest or you want to talk about. We want to hear from you. We've been talking about this, honest to God, a great-grandmother who was arrested at Disney World. Not by the Disney fun police, but by the, let me see what agency was, the Orange County Sheriff's Office. They decided that she posed, I guess, immediate danger to the park because she brought in a little bit of CBD oil. That's cannabidiol oil that is produced usually from the hemp plant. And it does not get you high. There is no intoxicating effect. And according to the state of Florida, a tiny drop of CBD, which doesn't do anything to you, it's a felony. Meanwhile, you can have up to 19.9 grams of leaf marijuana. That's a first degree misdemeanor. This is insanity.
I bet you the medical industry has some heavy duty lobbyists in Florida. I mean, it's a good customer base.
Oh,
you know,
God.
All the old retirees that are down there, you know, these
right.
A lot of these folks, you know, in their 60s and 70s, they're on a battery of meds, and a lot of these old farmers I know, they just won't take medicine and they're in good shape in their 70s, they're still milking cows and
right.
You know, just doing stuff every day.
But you know, I've been told that CBD oil is like oil for your joints.
It's for everything,
yeah.
Really. It helps out with so much stuff. It's amazing. It's endless. I have a personal friend, a personal friend who received an organ 2 years ago, and I referred her to another friend, and it was a liver, and they're having rejection issues, and she's been taking CBD for like 6 months, and she's like, wow, I'm like not having the issue. She's still on the anti-rejection meds.
Right.
But she's like taking, and the doctors are like, well, we don't, there's no like science on, there's no, can it hurt if I take CBD? Is it going to, you know?
Right.
And they're like, we don't know. We have no reason to believe it could hurt. So she just started doing it. And she's like, I don't know if it's just, she's feeling so much better.
So I'm not like an anxious person, but I'm kind of high strung, especially when I read stories about great grandmothers getting arrested at Disney World. But I like, you know, I could use something to mellow me out a little bit sometimes.
Sure.
And sometimes I don't sleep. Like, I stay up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning just because my mind's always racing. I started taking CBD a few months ago, and it has made a difference. I can get a decent night's sleep. I can't remember until CBD ever having 8 hours of sleep. I just, it doesn't happen for me. And I don't take it all the time, and I should, and I'll definitely take some tonight, but it will relax me. It puts me in a calmer state of mind, and it's not mind altering. It is not changing me. I'm not intoxicated. I'm not going to get a DUI because I took some CBD oil, and I sure as hell didn't put anybody else at risk by me taking CBD. Nor have any of these farmers Jay's talked about, or this grandmother. This is the insanity of where we're at. And again, she was arrested by a cop in Disney World, despite the fact, and we talked about this, despite the fact that it was sold across in stores across the state of Florida, CBD is still technically illegal, and it is a felony. So you were asking, you know, how is this sold in stores? Because the market demands it. CBD is sold all over the place here in New Hampshire where this show is broadcast from. You know, I was just in my little dinky town in our little, we got a little general store. Yes, in New Hampshire, we still have general stores. And guess what's there on the counter next to the gum?
I saw it today.
CBD. I'm right.
CBD gummies.
You don't need to be 18 or anything. You just buy it.
Right. And some places may say 18, but this is something that, you know, has a lot of positive effects for children, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not going to tell any parent that go give your kid CBD, or I'm not going to sell it. In other words, if I were selling CBD and a six-year-old came in, I'm probably not going to sell them CBD.
Yeah, but if their parent came in and you talked to them and they told you what was going on and that they're on some kind of pharmaceutical drug for ADHD or ADD, you know,
epilepsy.
CBD can help. Absolutely.
Epilepsy. I mean, yeah. I personally know several people. CBD has helped them with epilepsy. But the major thing, the one thing we got to go back to, why is CBD, why is THC, why is cannabis, why is hemp, why was it ever prohibited? For absolute nonsense. Black people were going to rape white women. That was literally the drug enforcement, or what was a drug enforcement agency back then. That was the whole spiel.
You're right, Jay, and that was the line. That was, for you climate folks out there, this was the settled science of the 1930s, that if you smoke marijuana, number one, it's going to make you homicidal. It's going to make white women want to have sex with black people, Mexicans, and jazz musicians. They were very clear about that. Jazz
and you know
musicians.
What?
This was said in Congress. This is part of the congressional record. I'm not making this up. This was the guy who was the first officer of the first federal drug enforcement agency.
Yeah,
it's insane.
And all this, everything that like was all the reasons for cannabis prohibition back in the day have all been literally, discounted. They have been rebutted. They're just such nonsense. And I have a friend who actually used this as a defense in court. And as he's put this in, his case was dismissed. It never even got anywhere. This was in Massachusetts a few years ago. He did this.
Wow. We're going to go to the phones where we've got an old name from long ago, TJ the Spy. TJ, you are on Free Talk.
Hey, Chris, how's it going? I heard you're lamenting the death of Deep.Web earlier and, the Wall Street market and they've all gone. Yeah, they've all been taken down. So as I said, the problem now is, you know, even if you had an index of darknet websites, there's no darknet websites left. They've all been shuttered.
That's interesting. That was another part of the story we didn't get to, but another big, big website that provided a free market solution for people that are interested in taking illegal drugs, what the government says are illegal, got taken down too as part of this. It's insane.
Yep. Well, it is, it was a small death knell to freedom. But, occasionally freedom takes a punch, but good news out here in Denver, they approved a ballot initiative to decriminalize psilocybinic mushrooms, so it barely passed, but it ultimately won. So I thought, we're blazing the trails here. First comes decriminalization, and then comes government regulation once they realize how beneficial the plant is.
Right.
Hey, TJ, since we got you on the line, I hear you're in Denver now. And I hung out with a great community of libertarians and anarchists out there. And it is the check out the WeAreChangeColorado.org guys. I don't know. They have Monday get-togethers. I think it's the last Monday of the month. But if you go on to WeAreChangeColorado.org, tell them I sent you there. They're good dudes. You're going to love them.
Okay. Well, I'm always happy to be an envoy and represent New Hampshire. But I just wanted to give you that and chime in and saying, it's a shame that all the darknet websites have been shuttered temporarily until someone creates a new one.
Well, and that's the beauty. It's temporary because they can keep coming after it. It's, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and you've got on the other side ingenuity and free markets. I know where I'm putting my money.
Oh, yes.
TJ, it was great to hear from you. Have a great day.
It's always good to talk to you too, Chris. Yeah. Take care.
It's these things get whack-a-mole all the time. You know, the government comes along, we're going to fix this for once and for all. Bang, 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 they knock five of them down, and then a week later, there's going to be five more to replace it. Hopefully, 6, 10, or something like that. That should be the response to stupid government. And I'm sorry, if you don't get the idea behind the Silk Road, it's about freedom, it's about liberty, and it's about recognizing that adults are people that don't... We're not here to serve government. Government is supposedly here to serve us. But
government's not occupied. They're all municipal corporations calling themselves governmental agencies. Just read the town. I forget what it's called now.
But more when we return. This is Free Talk Live.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, hour number 3. I'll tell you, these Wednesday nights, they just fly by.
Yeah,
you guys are fun to do shows.
Thank you.
That's all right, Jay. In studio, we have myself, Chris.
Jay.
And Angie.
And Angie, the Wednesday crew. Mark and Ian are both out this week, so anything goes, guys.
They're missing out.
They are. They're going to miss all the fun. We're going to tell them all about it, make them all kinds of jealous, and that'll be cool. But if you're listening to the show and you like what you hear, if you appreciate the fact that there is a station out there, that a show that doesn't really care if you're left, right, libertarian, Green Party, we want to hear from you. I think that's unique in today's polarized political world, that you can bring up your point of view. We'll debate it. We may not agree with you. We may ask some pointed questions. But you can even help out a little bit more, and that's through the AMP program. AMP at freetalklive.com. AMP.freetalklive.com stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And that's what we use donations to do. We advertise, market, and promote the show so we can get on even more radio stations. I mentioned earlier we're on close to 200. That's a sizable talk radio network. I mean, and we are on stations everywhere from Guam to Africa to, and these are regular broadcast stations, not.
And we're on nightly on a big talker in Boston now, that 680 AM.
WRKO, which is a huge 50,000 watt station. It is, this station is historic, and it's on in the Boston market. And part of the reason we're able to do that is because people help us out and allow us to promote the show. Periodically, we like to give a little shout out to some of those amplifiers, and one of them is Porcupine Real Estate. Hey, we know these guys.
Yes, we do.
We do. Porcupine Real Estate is a New Hampshire icon, I would say, at least in libertarian circles. They have been helping a lot of people out over the years that have moved to the great state of New Hampshire. A lot of them as part of a political migration called the Free State Project. They are a gold amplifier, which means that they are pledged to give $10 a month for that. They get a couple There are a couple perks to it. We've got some amplifier-only podcasts, so you don't have to listen to all the ads and Discord channels and things like that they can go into. But I just wanted to give a big thank you to Mark Warden and all the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate for amplifying. We really appreciate that.
And the folks at Porcupine, Mark Warden, there's a few other people that work with them. They're all great people. They actually, I believe we covered it on a show here last year. Mark Warden helped was part of facilitating a house that was bought with Bitcoin here in New Hampshire.
Yep. Nice.
And he is he's one of the guys that actually pays me cryptocurrency for some of my services. And they are great people, and they have done so much for the freedom movement by getting people here, helping them find houses. Everybody has good stuff to say about Mark Warden, everybody I talked to, and he's been doing a great job here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and you know, Mark is he wears a lot of hats periodically. He's also been a state representative and promoted liberty-oriented, liberty-friendly legislation in the New Hampshire State House, and that's appreciated. Anytime you got a guy fighting to help keep you free and try to return some of those freedoms to the people, that's important stuff. But we are going to try to go to the phones, and hopefully this kind of blew up on me last time I tried to take a Bad Slave without giving him a heads up. So, hey, what the heck? We're just going to go into this blind and see what happens. What's the worst that could happen, right? That. Bad Slave, are you there? See, now what did
that
I say about that?
That scared me to death.
Did it really?
Yes. Did you see me
jump?
Your
headphones really jacked up? Well, we'll keep trying with Bad Slave. And I did want to talk a little bit more about this poor grandmother who got busted in Disney World. My gosh, what did she have? She must have had heroin, right?
It must have been.
Think.
Must have been. Probably some massive.
She was trying to sell it.
Yeah, sell heroin to little kids for a grandmother, great-grandmother, to be arrested in Disney World. No, as it turns out, the Orange County Sheriff's Department decided to bust her because she had some CBD oil. CBD, while technically, well, not technically, it is, the government says it's still illegal in lots of states. The federal government says there's nothing wrong with CBD oil. They've never come out specifically to talk about it because, hey, they legalized it, all hemp products.
In fact, the federal government financed a study back in the 70s about to have these guys study cannabis, and that's where a lot of the findings were found, all the health benefits, and what they did was, well, we're not going to publish this. We're going to kind of keep it quiet.
Right. In this case, this woman was arrested. While the Orange County Sheriff's Office told Fox 35 that their deputy was, quote, just following the law, unquote, the charges against Burkhalter were eventually dropped. In a statement provided to Fox News, Burkhalter's lawyer Jennifer Cinnamon said, quote, I'm very disappointed that the Orange County Sheriff's Office handled the situation the way they did. Why Sheriff Mina would support his deputies using their resources for a CBD oil arrest of a 69-year-old woman, but then wouldn't do anything about the gas stations, health food stores, drug stores, etc., that are selling it openly to the public, is absolutely behind my comprehension. Well, this is Chris. I have to say that I am amazed that Jennifer Cinnamon would even support the sheriff's department in allowing or threatening drug stores for selling CBD oil, for threatening gas stations.
This is Orange County, Florida? Is that what it's...
Yeah, but this is Burkhalter's lawyer taking a very anti-CBD approach.
I'd like to take that comment one step further. How many rape kits that haven't been tested are in Orange County, Florida?
That's usually...
what I want to know.
Good question. Quote, the state of Florida finds nothing wrong with collecting a sales tax on illegal products, but they allow prosecution for possession of the same. I want to commend Aramis Ayala's office for reviewing the case and swiftly determining that they would not prosecute, unquote. Well, how about not prosecuting because it's a stupid case in the first place? I mean, really?
I hope this woman sues this cop.
I hope so, too. Update. The Orange County Sheriff's Office provided Fox News with the following statement. Quote, "This was a lawful arrest of possession of CBD oil, which is currently a felony under Florida state statute, and deputies are responsible for enforcing Florida law and Orange County ordinances. Although CBD oil is illegal without a prescription, our top drug enforcement priority and focus at the Orange County Sheriff's Department is to get deadly drugs like heroin and fentanyl off the streets of our community," unquote.
Can we get some heavy-duty trolling action on Orange County Sheriff's Department over this, listeners?
These
I know there's a lot of trolls listening.
These guys are insane.
I feel much safer now, knowing that I can go to Disney World and there won't be CBD oil there.
Right?
I bet you they sell it in a kiosk. Everything is in there. It just costs 10 times more.
Exactly. Exactly. Just the insanity and the insanity that you feel that you must, that you are going to get deadly drugs like heroin and fentanyl off the streets of our community. You're not going to do it. I hate to break it to you.
No.
I hate to be the guy who's going to tell you that people who are addicted to drugs, it's not a legal issue. In this case, it's a health issue, and these people need help. They don't need to get thrown in jail and to become part of this cycle, this endless rinse, repeat, release and catch. And that's all it is. In the meantime, you, the sheriff down there, can just ask for a bigger budget next year over this program problem you will never solve. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. You can hit us up on any topic you like. In studio, it's Chris.
Jay.
And Angie.
And Jay, you're going to be at ForkFest this year, aren't you?
That is right. Do you want to forge your own bottle opener out of steel? Would you like to weld up a coat rack out of old horseshoes?
I like it.
We will be blacksmithing, forging, and welding at Man Camp, which is what I'm putting on at ForkFest 2019. Join liberty-minded anarchists, voluntarists, and libertarians this summer from June 13th until June 18th for ForkFest 2019 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens right before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one's in charge. That also means no ticket costs. Just reserve your camping or RV site or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through 18th. You can simply relax and go camping with other liberty lovers, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with other ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, ForkFest.party. That's ForkFest.party.
This is, it's going to be a good year.
Oh,
I'm psyched.
I am super excited. I got a lot of people interested in all kinds of things to do. At Man Camp is going to be like make your own swag kind of thing. We're going to teach people how to use acetylene torches. We're going to teach people how to gas weld, how to use a MIG welder we'll have there. And we're going to be doing I'm going to have a propane forge set up. I think I'll have a coal forge set up, a couple of anvils. And we'll have a schedule every day. And every day, pretty much every day except for the 17th, because that's my 1 year anniversary. I got married at ForkFest last year.
Nice.
Which is Monday the 17th. We're not doing too much with the Man Camp stuff, but all the other days we're going to be making stuff all day long. It's going to be fun.
Will there be cameras with facial recognition software there?
I don't know. I'm not setting any up. So
I'm just kidding. That would be a huge invasion of our privacy, Jay. And I for one, know that Jay would not do that kind of thing. But in San Francisco, there have been threats of them doing it. But this is a good story. San Francisco
so
is
So they're
a,
doing it, you mean?
They're
somebody
not.
Almost found out.
They are going the other direction.
Oh, good.
Because the police have been wanting to do this. San Francisco, this is the headline coming to us from Reason.com. San Francisco, a step closer to banning police use of facial recognition surveillance. Other states and cities should consider doing the same thing. Byline by Ronald Bailey. Again, that's from Reason.com. The San Francisco City Police is on the verge of enacting a ban on law enforcement use of facial recognition surveillance technology. A version of the, quote, Stop Secret Surveillance Ordinance, unquote, has passed a committee vote, and the whole San Francisco Board of Supervisors will vote on the proposed ban on May 14th. The ordinance states that, quote, it shall be unlawful for any department to obtain, retain, access, or use, one, any facial recognition technology, or two, any information obtained from facial recognition technology, unquote. In addition, city law enforcement agencies will be required to submit a justification for the use of any other electronic surveillance technologies currently in use. If the Board of Supervisors fails to approve the required use of surveillance technology after 180 days, the city agencies must cease using it. Surveillance technologies that require approval include cell tower spoofing devices. And if you guys aren't familiar, that is the Stingray. Stingrays are used all over the place. It basically makes your phone think that it's next to a cell phone tower, and it connects to the cops.
Okay.
Who can listen in on everything you're doing and record everything you're doing, and they do it all the time without warrants.
Well, they do it to protect us, right?
They do it. They keep us safe.
I think so.
From terrorists, right?
I think the police are the terrorists.
That's a good point.
Good point. So that's what that's one of the things that they're going to require, that they get a warrant if it's gone longer than 180 days. Also, automatic license plate readers, electric toll readers, and closed circuit television cameras. If these surveillance technologies are approved, law enforcement must transparently report how they're being used. So this is a pretty major piece of legislation in the city of San Francisco. They are really rolling back certain aspects of the surveillance state. What do you guys think?
Well, here's how I look at it. If they have the technology, if they can do it, they are doing it. Now, what'll happen is the government can't use this technology, might become a city ordinance, for example.
Sure.
Well, what they do is, some other organizations, like towing companies, here in New Hampshire, they made it law years ago, and I think it's been changed around recently. I'm not 100% sure, but the Free Staters, basically in the New Hampshire legislature a few years ago, got it passed that the police could not use license plate scanners.
Right.
But You go hang out downtown Keene, and you will see a tow truck troll by, and it has these things, these little camera things, scanner mounted on the hood. They're magnet mounted on the hood, and they're trolling by, doing all license plate scanners, looking for cars they can tow for unpaid parking tickets, is one of the things. And also what's in there is a database of cars on a repo list.
Right.
But like Emerson Towing, for example, has the gig to tow these cars here in Keene.
We're not going to pick on any one, but those people are out there. And
all the city towing contractors can have a list of unpaid parking tickets, and they can go tow cars from off the city street or in Walmart parking lot. I know some of these establishments in cities have said, listen, you can't come into our parking lot with your tow truck and, troll for, people's cars are towed. And and then with this whole thing, if the technology exists, they are using it. And if the city of San Francisco can't use it, then that streaming feed, all those cameras, they're not going to take them down. I mean, they're all over the place everywhere. They're right. In use.
Yeah.
So they'll just maybe some other, outfit that, gets donations from you know, a bunch of do-gooders like the Lawyers Association or whatever, or
right.
You know, just some, you know, the Police Department Association. That outfit is now going to scan all these.
I suspect you're right. There's always going to be a level of that. And if you think that that's far-fetched, well, then how much does Facebook turn over to the federal government? How much does
whatever
Google,
the federal government wants?
Whatever the federal government wants. And, you know, I admire San Francisco for at least taking a step, at least laying down another barrier that says, no, police, you don't have unchecked powers to do whatever you want. And as Jay correctly points out, it means they're going to have to work a little bit harder to infringe on your privacy. What do you think? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasiewicz for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. We want to hear from you, and we still have some time left in our third hour this evening. Free Talk Live does 3 hours, 365 days a year. There is no weekend for us. We want to hear from you and hear what's on your mind. Another place that is great to go for things that may get on your mind, and that's Freedom's Phoenix. Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. Do you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty? Freedom'sPhoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news and government overspending, and the rise of the police state. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, freedomsphoenix.com. And we have been talking about certainly the overreach of this police state and what some people in San Francisco, believe it or not, it's just not often that we find a liberty-friendly story that comes out of San Francisco. I mean, this is ground zero for the nanny state. Would you agree? I
do agree. I haven't been to San Francisco.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
The things you can do while you're in San Francisco, you can go to Fisherman's Wharf, and you can try to avoid stepping in human feces as you walk their streets.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yes, thanks to their homeless program problem, which is simply a manifestation of their city government and their policies. It really is a shame because I would never say I really loved San Francisco. It was always a nice place to visit. I used to do a lot of work out of California, and I would travel there 4, 5, 6 times a year. And there was, you know, there's great restaurants and lots of things to see. And Haight-Ashbury's kind of cool and like that. But every trip I went, it was just there were more people panhandling. There was more feces in the streets. And it's just not worked out. Most of the problems are due to government programs like rent control. You know, this has led to a huge shortage in the amount of space that people can afford. And when you have a reduction in the supply of something, you have people finding creative ways to deal with it. For example, living in the streets. And it's just it's real shame.
One extreme to the other in San Francisco, from what I understand, you know, you'll have homeless dude, and then 10 feet away from him, you got a $300,000, you know, Lamborghini or something sitting there idling at the stoplight.
Oh, yeah. It was the first place I ever saw a Tesla. back when seeing a Tesla was extremely rare. You know, that was right in front of my hotel. Somebody called the valet and, you know, five more feet said human feces. Now, I know people think that I joke about human feces in the streets of San Francisco. It's no joke. There are actually apps out there where people can report streets to avoid too much to even dodge feces in the streets.
Do they have like a service that comes around to pick that stuff up? Is that why you would report it?
They don't even do that. It's so you can avoid it.
Why can't these people, like, I'm not saying I'm judging them, but
no, it's
why
all right.
Can't they go into the bathroom? Why can't they go find a public restroom to use?
Because I would say that San Francisco is also one of the snobbier places I've ever visited. And, you know, they have deep concern and care for the homeless, but would they invite them in to use their restrooms? No.
Well, I mean, like when I was in Winston-Salem, it was, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. I went into a gas station and there was a woman bathing herself in the gas station bathroom.
Right.
And I just kind of closed the door, but I mean, I knew she was homeless and she had to do her thing. And the clerk was like, hey, it's okay. She comes in here every night.
Right.
So why can't they just do that?
That would be a great idea, but I think you have a lot of people in San Francisco that are just tired of this problem. And I'm not making excuses for anybody. I'm saying that people are sick and tired of it, and what you have are more policies by San Francisco, by the people that they elected, that contribute to these. Like I said, you know, rent control is a big deal, and if you want to, you know, monkey around with the supply of housing, that means people are going to end up being without a house. And that's what happens.
To answer your question, Angie, the reason you just can't leave, you know, bathrooms and convenience stores just open to the public in an area like that, because, for example, there's a Cumberland Farms right down the road. The bathrooms are out of order every night at 10 o'clock. They're just out of order. They close them because drunk kids go in there and they throw up and they pass out. And in San Francisco, you get dudes they'll go in the bathroom and sleep. They do it in Denver, Colorado, when you go to Subways. There's a key code to the bathroom on the receipt. The guy can't even tell you. And the key code changes every 20 minutes.
Wow.
So he's like, if you buy a cookie for 75 cents, you can get the receipt. You know, that's how you use a bathroom.
That is amazing. We're going to go to the phones where we've got Polly from Williamstown, Pennsylvania. Polly, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Jay, you call the cops terrorists?
Yes.
Who would you call if somebody shot Chris in the head?
Well, I would probably, if I was here, I would attempt to protect him or apprehend the guy.
If somebody shot Chris in the head, who would you call?
I would get on Cell 411, which is an app.
If somebody shot Chris in the head, who would you call?
I'm trying to answer.
Tell the truth.
I would call the community.
Tell the truth.
Not going to be the cops.
I got an app on my
phone. Call the terrorists.
Cell 411.
You should be shot in the head.
I think this does not sound like Polly from Pennsylvania. Thank you for your call.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Was that James?
It probably was. He's always he puts stuff on Facebook. Who knows? It could be Crazy James. I don't know.
Could be.
But, you know, the cops are the only people who have ever terrorized me. And almost all my friends have been terrorized exclusively by police, not other people. Not, you know, the Latin Kings have never bothered me. The no crazy Muslims have ever bothered me. You know, black people haven't bothered me. Asian people haven't bothered me. Nobody's bothered me except for white people that are cops, literally. So, and I have a lot of friends that are white. They don't bother me, but only the ones wearing badges have bothered me. And I'm actually friends with some cops, really good friends. And the last couple of police interactions I've had have actually been quite pleasant and productive.
I've definitely had some police friends. But every interaction I have with them eventually devolves into questioning what gives you the right. And I understand, and I don't know. I know most people cannot imagine a world where we don't have a police force, there isn't something to rely on. And this is a new invention.
Right.
This is not something that has gone down through history where there was always a police department. That is a 18th century, 19th century thing. And
when slavery became illegal and there was no longer fugitive slaves to apprehend, the police of the day needed a new job. They needed something to do. So,
but even if we go back before that, I mean, you had the sheriffs of, you know, and I'm talking
about,
they were
accountable.
When we go back to like the Magna Carta in England, where a lot of our common law arises, you had a sheriff, but the sheriff was there to protect rights. The sheriff was there to act as a tax collector in some cases. But the sheriff didn't run around and look for crimes, looking to make something up and say that you have to go to jail because we caught you, grandma, great grandma, with CBD oil. You know, that's the insanity. And for the longest time, there weren't statutes as there are now. There wasn't, everything wasn't written down. There was right and wrong. And that was the idea. And police use discretion. That's another concept that seems to be lost. Well, it's the law, so I have to enforce it. No, you don't. You can use that thing between your ears and say, is this the right thing to do? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, final segment, but there's still time. If you want to get on the radio, if you've never been on the radio, if you've never called into a talk show, boy, tonight is going to be the night you are going to do it. We'd love to hear from you. 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number. You can also hit us up on Discord at discord.freetalklive.com or discord.lrn.com. Use your good mic, use your high-speed internet connection, and sound like you are right here in the studio with us. So, what do you think, San Francisco? What's going on?
I mean, I got no intentions of going there.
You got no intentions?
No. I mean, it's just... It's classic. This is what you happen when you have this, you know, Max Kaiser talks about this all the time. So the elite have access to 0% interest money or negative percent interest money.
Sure.
And all
of
it.
They get the money first.
So they can buy up. So what's happening is they're buying up all the high-end rental places. You know, they're basically concentrating their wealth there. And then... And a lot of the reason this happens in San Francisco is you have like Agenda 21, you know, money. Google United Nations Agenda 21. It's basically an idea by a certain year, you know, 20 whatever, to concentrate the masses all in these mega cities and kind of like quarter off the rest of the wilderness of the United States.
And this sounds like conspiracy theory stuff, but no, it is real stuff. Just Google Agenda 21 and read up, make your own decisions.
So what happens is the federal government and the United Nations gives like incentives and huge money to build like these housing developments and to like move like a lot of these tech companies in these centralized areas, because the whole idea is to totally get most of the population severely centralized. And when you start doing this, you have things like where the masses all move to these areas. They just become concentrated. And then you got people, they can't live there because there's nowhere for them to live. And then a lot of these homeless people, like I got to know in Colorado, is a lot of them I noticed were mentally ill. Or they had some kind of alcohol, you know, addiction or something. But there were definitely something wasn't right. Because like in Colorado, you know, the economy was so good. If you had a heartbeat, you could go make $18 an hour. I mean,
right.
the truck stop was paying $15 an hour just to run a cashier, you know, right outside the little town I lived in.
Yeah, and it's crazy, but it's not only Agenda 21, but it's also socialist programs. And, you know, if San Francisco is learning that they are, if you want to live by that particular sword, you're going to die by that particular sword. We're going to go to the phones where we've got David from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, your call screener is hilarious tonight.
Oh.
That Agenda 20. Say again?
No, that's all right. What's on your mind? Agenda 21 thing. Okay.
The only way you're, well, I'm commenting on it. The only way you're going to stop that is to reduce the sizes of the nation states around the world, because when the nation states get on average too big and too powerful, then they can do that kind of stuff without you being able to stop them. But if you break your nation states down into smaller populations, the more of them with lesser power each, but where they still help defend one another from any other group that would come at them, that's the only way you're going to stop that kind of behavior.
Would you think that, I mean, this country was founded on all those same principles. I kind of agree with David on this, that states do, not just that states come too big, but that populations grow, and it sort of grows out of a manageable size. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Angie and I happen to have lived in the same town in New Hampshire, and, you know, it was less than 2,000 people, and things, we had problems, but they were kind of manageable.
They were.
You know, but it's very different than talking about, you know, 4 million, 7 million people. And then we look at the size of the country, 320 million people, and like, I just can't believe it. People don't agree.
It's not just sheer size, though. It's what happens when you have that size. When you get to a larger size, then the behind the scenes stuff gets more treacherous, and it's easier for them to hide it. If you talk about a town of 2,000, like your example, it's hard for them to hide any behind the scenes conspiratorial behavior going on. But when you get to a large size like us, you can have things like the CIA all over the world doing whatever that you never know about.
Whatever they
want. Even using money from your own budget.
How about central planning? You know, that's certainly a function of size. I think that's one of the worst, the most vile aspects of socialism.
And that's the whole backbone of the Agenda 21.
Right.
Your regional planning district is your local Agenda 21 affiliate, essentially.
Right. And if you look at San Francisco loves central planning. You know, they want to come up with a program that will absolutely work in every neighborhood, and it will work for every economic possibility, and it blows up in their face. Well, why should we expect different results just because you tried it somewhere else or you gave it a different name? Central planning does not work, and that is socialism. Part of me, you know, David, I just think of this stuff as educational. What do you think?
How do you mean educational?
In other words, we got to train our kids not to be socialists. We got to educate people that even in history, I mean, we can show you tens of hundreds of thousands of examples of where socialism and communism only rely on death, that's the end result. And central planning only results in poverty. That's a fact.
Yeah, just like the central planning of the school system. I mean, we've seen what it's done here in the United States, you know, since it's been centralized through the Department of Education.
Exactly. And hold on, I'm trying to dig up the statistic in my mind. How many children are educated by the Department of Education? I'm trying to lay my finger on that number. Angie, do you remember?
No.
Zero. The Department of Education doesn't educate a single kid. What the Department of Education was created for was for Jimmy Carter to get the vote of the teachers' unions. And that was its purpose. Right. And it never has educated a single child. They say that we're all about setting standards, but what standards are you setting when test scores continue to fall after decades?
I would go one step further. I would go beyond what you just said and say that the purpose for the teacher, purpose for not just the teachers' unions, but the purpose for the educational system is to have workers in them that are unionized, where their living depends on the union existence, and they will vote as a block to keep the power in power that will continue to fund them and pay their paychecks. That's what the purpose of the educational system is for. It's only a guise of educating children, and in fact, what they're actually doing is brainwashing children. But the children don't even matter. The reason for schools to exist is to have that labor force that gets a paycheck that is supposedly educating your children, but in reality what they are serving is to be a voting block to keep the powers that be in power.
Yeah, and that has been the case for decade upon decade, and it's shame because we're talking about kids' educations here. David, thank you for the call. But that those days are gone. What is not gone is the opportunity to basically dumb down your kid so he will be happy with a menial labor job. The goal, and Woodrow Wilson famously said this, was, you know, not everyone should have avail of a fine liberal arts degree. They should not have highly educated. Most of what we need are just factory workers. I'm paraphrasing.
Consumers and producers. This was a statement from the New York Education Board of Governors. It was a meeting in 1909, I believe, or 1919. And basically it was all the like elites, like the Morgans, the Carnegies. Henry Ford was like at one of these things, and he was disgusted with this. I remember hearing a story about this years ago, about Henry Ford being disgusted with basically what they wanted to do to the education system.
Yeah, and they did it. And, you know, for God's sakes, don't think that I don't want education for children. I want every kid to have the best opportunities to reach their potential, to do what they want, to have what they want out of life. And education's part of that. But I'm telling you, this insane Prussian system that we adopted in the progressive era has failed at every turn. And I don't know what to do to convey that to people that still defend it. That's all we have for tonight. We've enjoyed our time with you, and we'll be here again tomorrow evening. Heck, I'll even be here again tomorrow evening to take your phone calls and hear what's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Warden can help. PorcupineRealEstate.com